Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome, welcome, all my beautiful All In listeners. It is yours truly, Savannah Murphy with All In, brought to you by Bashani Radio out of New York City, where they're always talking about everything. And here at All In, we do as well. I am excited, as I always am, because we have amazing guests on this show, and we have an amazing guest tonight. We are so lucky to have Donna Smith Bellinger with us. She is very knowledgeable. And instead of me doing an intro like I normally do, I'm going to ask Donna, if you would, tell the guests a little bit about yourself, or a lot of bit about yourself, because there's so much to know. And I just want them to kind of prepare themselves for the treat that they are in for this evening.
Savannah, thank you so much for allowing me to share your listeners and your platform tonight. I'm very grateful. I will say that I am a business development professional. I have been in sales for over 40 years, long, long time. And that means that when I started out in sales, I was a woman in high ticket sales. So 40 years ago, that was kind of a thing. And I'm just going to leave it like that. That's what some of my people say, you know, that was kind of a thing back then. Yes, dear, it actually was an interesting journey. Now, since then, I have worked in education. I have worked with corporations in all areas of sales, generally tech. The sales that I specialize in is consultative sales. And I do not work with hospitality or with retail. So people that you know who are in insurance, finance, innovators, inventors, STEM.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
They are so much fun. I specialize in working with people who are brilliant at what they do, but they don't know how to communicate it to mere mortals. All right. So it comes out that they know how to do what they know how to do, but they don't always know how to communicate the value of the outcome to their ideal client. And that's one of the things that I work on. So I'm not that person who's going to beat you over the head and yell quotas and that kind of a thing. I'm going to come to you and say things like, what do you want this job or this business to do for you? And let's create a path to that. I firmly believe that work is what you do to finance who you want to become and how you want to show up both for yourself and the people whom you choose to serve. So when I am working with my clients, we always begin with the end in mind. That is nuts and bolts on my philosophy. My business mission statement is that the work that I do has to affect more than the bottom line, because it's not the transaction, it's the testimony. When you look at what you are doing as a service, as opposed to a transaction, sales can actually be quite fun. It's not sleazy, it's not pushy, it's none of those things. It is an engagement that provides value to both sides of the table. That's what you're doing when you're in sales. And I love being able to help my clients to attract more business, to sell more to the people they're already doing business with, and to train people to understand the value that they bring so that they don't miss opportunities that go beyond the transaction.
So you are challenging them to kind of elevate themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was training someone years ago, we had one of those washroom conversations. You know how girls are.
I love those conversations, sister. We're having one right now. No.
And so she said, I don't know if I can do this. It seems like so much to learn and so much to do. And there's all these guys out there, because I've always worked in male dominated teams. And I said, honey, if you can't have fun with it, walk away now. If you can't laugh at it, walk away now. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be healthy for you. And you did not take this job to kill yourself to make somebody else's dreams come true. So that's
really good advice.
Yeah. And she's still a friend to this very minute after all of these years. As a matter of fact, when I got married, her son was one of the ushers in my wedding. So I collect people, and people that I train and people that I do business with. You know, I value the relationships beyond the transaction. Are there exceptions? Oh, yeah. But by and large, they all become family in one way or another. And just to kind of clarify, my family, to kind of make people go, oh, really? That's why she's this way. My family is around the dinner table. It's African-American. It's Italian-Irish. It's Italian. It's Latinx. And it's Asian. And it spans from 96 years old to one. So I am very involved with communicating across gender, generation, and geography, and valuing differences. Uh-huh. Because it's about completing, not competing.
That's so important. I think, you know, like you said too, which is such a good nugget, I think, for the listeners to take away too, is that even in your professional, you know, arena that you obviously have excelled in and have, you know, kind of build your Medal of Honor in over this last, you know, 25 years, you also, it's relationships. When you break down everything, you know, you are gaining skills and you are learning how to be assertive and you are learning how to enjoy and find, you know, find joy in everyday life and everyday things that you do, especially in your career choices. But like you said, you're a collector of people almost. It's relationships. So at the end of it, even if, you know, someone's working with you to elevate themselves in a professional manner, I bet they end up, you know, elevating themselves personally too, because I believe they go hand in hand.
Always, because I'm going to ask the tough questions. I always ask the tough questions. And quick example, I have a person that I encountered years ago. We began working together because this person felt that they were not being valued in their family or on their job. So as we began to have this engagement, and we talked about sales, even though this person was not in sales. This person is a mechanical engineer. This is a person in STEM. And as we began to develop the concept of owning your value, one of the things I train my people in is to learn how to consistently communicate your competence. When you do that, when people are aware of what your goals are and you're sharing these things and you're asking questions like, how would you introduce me to someone? What do you really think of me? People don't ask those questions anymore. And, you know, perception equals reality. Mm-hmm. As she and I worked together, she discovered that she was absolutely a hero in her family. She didn't know that. She had made assumptions, right, that the opportunities that she felt she was being passed up on were simply because she didn't tell anybody she really wanted them, and she didn't demonstrate her capability to handle them. At the end of the first year, two promotions later, we were able to say that she had raised her income by 30%.
Wow.
And then a year later, she negotiated a position in a Fortune 25 firm that allowed her, she who felt nobody was listening to her and trusting her, she's handling global projects now. And she's actually considered a mentor.
Wow. So you were able to allow her to see herself almost through her family's eyes and build and gain that confidence to be assertive enough to and direct in a professional manner to allow herself to grow there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I'm working with some of my guys, and I just love them, I attended an event once where I always ask people, where else do you network? How do you meet the people that you meet? And one of the guys said, you know, my boss sent me to this women's organization for a luncheon. I don't know what they were thinking. I was the only man in there. And me being the not so shy retiring person, because I am not, I stood up and looked at him and leaned in and said, now you know how it feels. And he said, what? I said, no, now you know how it feels to be the only in the room. And it doesn't matter if you're the youngest person, the oldest person, the skinniest person, the fattest person, the person of color, it doesn't matter. But when you feel like you are the only, that's an uncomfortable feeling that you have to break away from. And you have to learn how to leverage that difference. If you're the only one in the room, then it's all eyes on you. Honey, you own that room.
Right. You better take that opportunity.
Run it. Everybody's going to remember you. It's always easier to work a room from the center than it is from the fringes.
Exactly.
Work it. So when I'm working with people, it's all about, again, showing them how to showcase their skills and not just the brand that they're representing. Because brands change. Most of us have had at least two positions in our lives. Some of us a heck of a lot more. Brands change, but your personal identity and your values and your integrity and your competence and all those other wonderful words, that's how you make yourself memorable. And then by putting out there what it is you're looking for, the things that I have been able to accomplish in my journey, I accomplished because people saw things in me that I didn't see in myself.
I love
that. Not necessarily that I pursued them.
I truly, that is so, I would love to dive into that because with All In, we talk about testimony and speaking testimony into other people and seeing people right where they're at. I think a lot of moments in my life that were life-changing were when people seen me when I couldn't see myself or recognize something in me that I couldn't recognize myself, professional or personally. It's all about development and our footprint. And like you said, you know, your footprint stays with you.
Absolutely. My first management job came when I went to register at a trade school. And I didn't want to take what I tested out for. You know, I wanted to go into computer operations. I tested high. They wanted me to go into programming. I knew it. I hated it. Didn't want that. I wanted to learn the equipment. And so eventually I went to my favorite fallback term, which is, I am so sorry I wasted your time, with a smile. You know, because you can't argue with yourself.
Kill them with kindness.
You know, I'll fall on my sword for in a hot minute just so I can get out of something. And I'm so sorry I wasted your time. I'll just take me and my funding and go someplace else, have a nice day. And I was probably 21 at the time. That night, the school director called me and he said, we'd love to have you take that program that you requested. And I'd also like for you to work for me while you're a student. And when I finished that 8-month program, I became their first assistant director.
Wow.
Because he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and developed those skills. That's how I got my first TV hosting job, and that's how I wound up on radio, and a lot of different committees and boards that I've served on. It's because people saw something. And also at the time, I didn't know that it's okay to say no. I have learned that now. There are times when you just want to say, you know, I really would love to, but my plate is so full, I wouldn't be able to give you the attention it deserves. Let me help you find someone.
Yeah, no, there's a way, a graceful way to say no.
There is a way. Just because it's good to you doesn't mean it's good for you. But that's one of those lessons that you learn through experience.
Which you have a lot of experience.
I have decades of experience.
And a lot of guidance and, you know, just so much knowledge. And I am really looking forward to kind of finding out where this love for, you know, perseverance, for hard work, for helping people and kind of, you know, releasing your knowledge into other people's lives and helping them grow too, while you grew yourself, really stems from. So I want to talk about the beginnings, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, people. You don't want to miss part two.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome back, everyone. We have an amazing guest. We have Donna Smith-Bellinger with us, and she has a lifetime of knowledge that she has been sharing with us in the first part of this podcast. It's so beneficial and so fruitful to have someone like you, Donna, who has, you know, 25 plus years experience, more than that, because you've been living life and going through life and learning and changing. And now you're kind of paying it forward by helping others grow and seeing them where they're at and seeing kind of what shines within them that maybe they're not able to recognize themselves. And we talk about that a lot on the podcast. So I'm excited to have you on. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. I really want to talk a little bit about your beginnings. I know you have a little bit of, I think I read in your bio, it says rags to riches kind of story where, you know, you left home at a young age and, you know, where did that kind of catapult you into where you are today?
Well, I didn't leave home at a young age. I was unceremoniously disowned.
Well, that's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah. And I think it's important to share that because I have a blog that I did years ago that said, with the right attitude, the facts don't matter. Mm. And so the first part of it was my transition from being a high school student and daddy's darling to being a mother, because I had a baby right out of high school, which is the reason that I got disowned. That was back in the day when children were not fashion accessories, and it was an issue, you know. As right. one of my students once said, "Yeah, I heard that used to be a thing." Yeah, that used to be a thing. So I realized that, the last thing my father told me, I had a boy, the last thing my father told me was never have your son have to defend your honor.
Oh my
gracious.
And
I was like, okay, fine. So I'm out, I'm on my own, and I had, of course, to get a job. Okay, fine, I got a job. I learned quickly what I was willing to work in and what not willing to work in. I had that transition where now I'm in education. And now I discover that I'm moving from being a mom to also being someone's boss, because Wow. now I'm starting to manage people. And so that was an interesting situation because, like I said, I ran largely male sales teams. And it's an interesting thing to be a woman of color running male-dominated spaces in rooms where you're the unexpected plus. So it was a lot of hard lessons, but I had to learn to stand up for myself and what I could bring to the table. And the thing that I learned quickly was, if you make them enough money, they overlook anything.
if it happens in the net, then you're good.
Yeah. So that worked, you know, that worked. And from that, I developed my nurturing way of managing people. And that is not to say that I was warm and fuzzy, because totally I was not. But I was able to probe and ask the same questions of my team that I would ask of any client. What would a successful outcome look like for you? What is it that you're trying to grow into? What is it that you need? Tell me. What's working? What's not working? And then my team also knew, and this was always my rule, you tell me anything that is keeping you from getting paid. And whatever I can manage for you, I will. So you can focus on what you do. So that was a large part of my management style. Then the other part of the transition, of course, was when I co-founded an IT firm. That was a nice adventure. And so now I'm not only running sales teams, but I'm running a business. And then as I got into my middle earlies, I transitioned into wanting to give others the benefit of my experience. I tried several different things. I thought about doing coaching. Coaching did not serve me well because I'm outcomes driven. I need to see the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just, how do you feel? That's not me. That's not me. So it's like, what do you want to happen as a result of this conversation? What do you want to happen as a result of our engagement? Tell me what the finish line looks like.
You ask the right questions, which is a huge thing in life.
Yeah. And so when we are in agreement to what this needs to look like, then we can create the situations that will get us to that. And so that caused me to shift back into my sweet spot, which is sales. Sales was a part of my life even in high school. I sold magazine subscriptions over the telephone to blind telephone lists, where they give you the area code and three digits and it goes 0000001. And I'm just calling and I'm selling these magazine subscriptions. And I outsold everybody in there, and I'm like a junior in high school. And to me, it was like nothing, you know, because I knew how to read the person that I was talking to, and I was able to give them what they needed to get them to yes. Uh-huh. And the book that I'm getting ready to come out with is Only Yes is Yes.
Oh, I love that.
So that they understand. Oh, if you like that, my first book was You Lost Me at Hello.
Me at Hello. Now I have looked into that one. So I was reading on that and, you know, the guide to turning cards into cash.
Yes. The things that I do when I present my information to audiences, because I get a lot of my clients from hearing me speak, I take situations and turn them into trainings. So you go out and you're doing a lot of networking. Terrific. Let's turn those cards into cash. You feel like people are not paying attention to you. Great. I have a topic, how to create visibility and credibility in your profession. Mm-hmm. And I just take the situations. Why doesn't anyone understand me? And that one is how to communicate across gender, generation, and geography. I give you the little bitty bit, as opposed to giving you this whole tsunami of a process, because it needs to be something that you're comfortable working with. Otherwise, it's like a fitness program. You know, you don't like to run, you don't mind walking. Okay, then walk.
Right.
You don't like weights, but you do like aerobics. Okay, then do the aerobics. Everything is like a buffet. Build your plate. See if that works. Try different combinations. Because as long as you get to yes, then there's no right or wrong. And you need to be able to do it with integrity so that you don't damage your personal brand.
And I love that. That can be applicable in all areas of life. And what is the, real quick, just one more time for our listeners, what is the name of this book again?
The book that is out currently is You Lost Me at Hello, Actionable Principles That Move You Beyond Networking. And in December, I will be releasing Only Yes is Yes.
And where could the listeners pick this up if they were looking to read this?
They can go to bellingerbooks.com. And my books are there as well as the books of my husband, because we both write. I do business. He does science fiction. But
well, isn't that a match made in heaven?
Yes.
Yes,
and there's
of
a story
course.
Behind that.
I'm sure there is.
Oh, yeah. There's a cool story behind that. So, but that is something that they can do. Go to Bellinger Books. And I'm also on Amazon. So any of those things work. Autographed copies, though, you want to go to Bellinger Books, and I'd be more than happy to sign the book for you and send it with a little goodie in the box and all of that. It's a lot of fun. And if they want freebies, I do have a little bit of Donna Free available to them. They can go to askdsb.com. And when they do that, they will have a little audio from me, and then also one of my webinars is available to them.
Which I have to tell people that I did watch that, and it, you know what, there are so many nuggets that you've given us today here, and I could tell them they could get 10, 15 times that just from going to the Ask DSB site, as well as, you know, reaching out to you or reading these books, because it's, you know, whether you're someone in business or you've hit a wall personally, professionally, whatever it is, your methods and reasoning are so applicable. And I think that anybody could utilize them. And this is what this is about. This is about growth, and this is about testimony. And Donna, I wanted to ask you, through all of the things you've been through, you know, you were a young mom, very unexpected pregnancy, you know, to being out on your own, like kind of gone from having this, you know, kind of shelter of a family to being out on your own, having to earn income, now having to figure out a career path while being a single mom for a certain amount of time and getting married later in life and all of these things that you've went through. What would you say is your biggest failure, and what did you learn from that?
My biggest failure actually came from judging myself based on the people around me. And let me kind of clarify that. I don't mean that it was like I'm hanging with people who, or something like that. But the first time I made six figures was probably 30 years ago. And I immediately had a semi-nervous breakdown, because no one I knew had the financial literacy to be able to advise me on what to do with this money.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And because, again, you know, I wasn't close to the family, and I was with a whole bunch of people who were struggling and trying to make it. And I was the only person who was making this kind of money. So did I know to invest it? No. Did I know, you know, other things that I could have done with it? No. So what did I do? Well, I just kind of pissed it away because I knew, or at that point in time, I knew how to manage struggle. So being able to understand that it is our Father's good pleasure that we succeed, and learning how to leverage those gifts and appreciate them. That is the lesson that I needed to learn. It was a big failure for me. It took me a while to recover from it. My children definitely learned from it. My daughter is like the master money manager. and it's absolutely a wonderful thing. I told her, I said, I'm going to get a t-shirt that says, I am a graduate of Don't Let This Happen to You University. And I used to struggle with finances and stuff. And I said, I don't want you to be anything like this when you get to be my age. I want you to be so, so much stronger. And she is, and I couldn't be more proud of her. And you learn. And the lessons that we learn are the things that turn us into the person we need to be in order to share and help other people learn from those challenges. So, you know, you don't wear them like a badge of honor. You don't say things like, you know, I can stretch a dollar from here to there, because that's not a badge of honor. That's not the badge of honor. But if you can say that, you know, I had this, I don't have it anymore, or I learned from it, and this is what I learned, then it's just like what I do in business now. I help people to shorten their learning curve because I don't want them to struggle the way I did. Go find some other struggle. But honey, I got the answers to the things that I went through. So come on, let me talk to you.
Right. Learn from my mistakes.
And you go make some fresh ones. You know, figure out how to go from 1 million to 10 million. All right. Let those be your challenges, but don't go treading in areas that have already been trod. Don't do that. Break your own path.
And you are kind of a spearhead, right? You have a big sphere of influence. You know a ton of people. You know, your life is built on relationships and, you know, I'm sure in professional, personal arenas. What is one thing that you maybe have thought about this or haven't, that, you know, with as many people that know you and you're very strong and, you know, seem to be very independent and very knowledgeable woman, what's something that people get wrong about you?
I had a conversation with a client today who had taken Strength Finders, that assessment. Mm-hmm. And she said, did you ever take it? I said, yes. And she said, well, you know, which one were you? And I said, what do you think how I came up? People generally think it's woo, which is, you know, wanting people to like you and that kind of a thing. And that is so not me. The first chapter in my book, You Lost Me at Hello, is not everyone's going to like you. And you really don't want them to because it's too time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
When I meet people, I'm intentional. How can I support you? How can you support me? Is this going to be a win?
Mm-hmm.
I'm intentional. I have been battered and bruised enough over the years that I can smell something that's not good for me, something that's toxic, and I have no problem walking away from it. So...
That's strong. I mean, that's very powerful because I would think that, yeah, a lot of people would with, you know, kind of what you do professionally and maybe the persona that people would, you know, look at your website or, you know, look at that and maybe that they would see you as someone who would want to be liked or a people pleaser or something of that
nature. Yeah, I'm so not a people pleaser.
Oh, well, I can tell that. Right. No, I'm just joking. So, you know, it's been a great learning experience having you on the show. Thank you so much for opening up your brain and allowing the listeners in. You've given them a lot of takeaways and a lot of things that they can go and re-listen to this episode and, you know, write down some things that maybe they're lacking or some things that they're feeling it kind of like a roadblock in their life. And I urge them to, you know, seek out your books, seek out your website. You have a lot of things available out there that are not at a cost to them. And, you know, maybe if they resonate with that, then to take it a next step forward by getting in contact with you. One last question, if you don't mind, is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. So the last question of the evening, and I ask this of all of my guests, is what does all in mean to you?
All in to me means faith. Mm. Absolutely. And it's trusting at the classic example would be when I had my child. They wanted me to have an abortion. I did not. I'm not judging anybody who does.
Mm-hmm.
But I prayed over it and I said, look, I got pregnant at this time. There must be a reason. And it may not be for me to understand what that reason is. So maybe my child is going to do something, or his child, or his child's child. But I'm going to go ahead and, as you would say, I'm going all in, and I'm going to see this through. So it's faith that you, maybe you're not supposed to know the answer, but you know it's the right thing to do.
I am, that speaks to my soul so deep. I am definitely a person by faith. I know we have listeners that, you know, may not be believers in God and may believe in other things, but as long as you believe in something, faith is something everyone carries. You know, sometimes you just got to have faith through the day, faith in yourself, faith in the others around you, and faith in a greater power and a greater purpose. So that's a beautiful, beautiful description of all in. Donna, thank you so much for coming on and being all in with us this evening. And I hope that the listeners are able to connect with you and to follow you. I'm going to follow you and I'm going to connect with you and I'm going to stalk you even if you don't like it. And I wish you all the best. And I hope the launch of this book in December, I'm definitely going to get a copy of it. It's definitely something I can work on. And I'm going to gift myself, treat yourself, as they say, and get a copy for Christmas. So I wish you a happy and blessed Thanksgiving and Christmas season with your family. And thank you again.
Thank you so much, Savannah. Blessings to you as well. And a happy and prosperous 2021.
Oh, amen. Well, listeners, we have been all in with Miss Donna Smith-Bellinger, and now we're all out. Thank you.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.